We're doing Kohelet tonight. Kohelet is called Ecclesiastes in English. Kohelet was compiled by Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. And Kohelet, on the surface, is one of Shlomo's nicknames. Shlomo HaMelech is also known as Kohelet. And the question is why? So one understanding is that when he spoke, he'd have a lot of people gathered to listen to him. He was a very wise man, as we know. So people would gather to hear his words. So Kohelet, according to that understanding, comes from the word kahal, a gathering, that there were gatherings of people to hear what he had to say. Another understanding is that Shlomo HaMelech is called Kohelet because he gathered all forms of wisdom, as we will see in this book. The words of Kohelet, and Kohelet would then mean the gatherer, not the one who had gatherings listening to him, as we said in the first understanding, but rather the gatherer, Shlomo HaMelech, who gathered all forms of wisdom together. Why this name change? Why is it that Shlomo HaMelech, who's also known as Yedid Hashem, Yedidya, why does he need a third name? So there is an understanding that says that Shlomo HaMelech at the end of his days did tshuva. We know the Navi says in Melachim that he sinned, and our sages expand on what were his sins exactly. And at the end of his days, he did tshuva. And part of doing tshuva, our sages tell us, is if one changes his name, so then that helps him feel like I'm a different person. That helps him in the process of tshuva. We know that a name change can change a person's din. In halachos of Bikur Cholim, the laws of visiting a sick, so the Beis Yosef brings from the Rishonim the whole procedure of how we make a name change. And this concept of a name change already shows up in the Torah. God changes Avram's name to Avram, Sarai's name to Sarah, Yaakov's name to Yisrael, Moshe changes, Paro changes Yosef's name to Tzofnas Paneach, Moshe changes Hoshea bin Nun's name to Yehoshua bin Nun. We find this throughout Tanakh, that people had their names changed. And our sages tell us that there are a few things that will change one's Gzar Din, one's decree in heaven. And those are giving tzedakah, doing tshuva, praying, changing one's name, moving to a different location, switching one's where one lives. So changing the name has an effect in heavens. Coming to Israel has more than just the effect of moving, but it has the added effect of coming to Israel. Our sages say that if one was judged before court and he was found guilty and he was found that he would get the death penalty, and then he runs away and comes before another court, so the second court says, well, you were judged already. What happens if that second court is in Israel? So then we say, Avira d'Eretz Yisrael Machkim, could be he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he has the merit of coming to Eretz Yisrael, so then could be he'll get a better judgment. He can get rejudged. Even if the same court that judged him in Chutz Laretz made Aliyah, they all came to Israel, and now he comes before them again, they have to rejudge him, they should rejudge him, because now he's in Israel, there are new Zchuyot. So Michael walks in, we speak about the Zchuyot of Eretz Yisrael. So moving to Israel is in a class in and of itself. But any time a person switches locations, our sages tell us that that's one of the things that help change the Gzal Din. And on a practical sense, when a person changes his name, so that helps him feel like I'm a different person. And so Shlomo HaMelech, upon doing tshuva, changed his name, became known as Koheles. That's what one understanding says. At any rate, we begin our book that Shlomo HaMelech compiled, Divrei Kohelet Ben David, the words of Koheles, King Solomon, the son of David. And Shlomo HaMelech is going to expound for 12 chapters here about the philosophy of life. What's the right way to go? And our sages say that throughout the generations, there was a discussion among the sages how to treat the book of Koheles. Because in the book of Koheles, it seems like a textbook. You read the book of Koheles, it doesn't seem like any other book in Tanakh. Mishlei comes and tells you, this is how you should behave, this is what you should do. You read the prophets, they tell you, don't do this, don't do that, improve on this, improve on that. But you come to the book of Koheles and suddenly you don't understand what Shlomo HaMelech is telling you. One pasuk he says, oh, it's so good, you should be happy, rejoice, O young one, with your youth. Another pasuk he says, what's the value of being happy? What's it all worth? Everything's for naught. So what's the point? What's Shlomo telling us? You read the book of Kehelis, you seem to be reading someone who wrote a script, and he keeps editing. Maybe this way, maybe that way. Shlomo HaMelech goes in every direction in Kehelis. And therefore, throughout the earlier generations, there was a disagreement among the sages whether the book of Kehelis should be included in Tanakh. To the generation of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, we're talking about to the period of Tanoim, there was a machlokis, there were different opinions as to whether the book of Kehelis is considered a holy book. We know that every book that's included in Tanakh was written either with Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh. The books in Nevim were written with Nevuah, the books in Ksuvim were written with Ruach HaKodesh. So, the book of Kehelis, on the one hand, we know Shlomo HaMelech attained the level of Ruach HaKodesh. According to some opinions, he attained the level of Nevuah, but that not everyone agrees upon. But what about this book? Shlomo HaMelech compiled over 3,000 books. This book of Kehelis, is it one of those books that was written with Ruach HaKodesh? We know it's included in Tanakh. So we know that the final verdict was, it is part of the Ksuvim, it is part of the Holy Writings. But when we read it, it's understandable that we're going to be puzzled. Kehelis is the one book that when you read it, you should know that our sages already showed us, they already said themselves that this is a difficult book. And this is a book that to know what the conclusions are and what the initial opinion is something that takes the guidance of Chazal. It's not something that one can open the book and just read it and quote a verse from Kehelis and therefore it's truth. Some of the things Kehelis says, he says as a first thought, which he's going to later on say that's not the right approach. So the one book in Tanakh that you can't quote a verse from and think, oh, that's what it says, so that's what must be right, that's Kehelis. So our sages say Kehelis begins with Yiras Shamayim and ends with Yiras Shamayim. The first verses in Kehelis are about God-fearingness, and the last verses are about God-fearingness. So our sages said that shows that everything in between is also about being a God-fearing person, and we just have to figure out what it means. So that's what we're going to try to do tonight. That's a bold aspiration. If we spend all night studying Kehelis, we might be able to finish the chapters, being that we're not going to spend all night on Kehelis, so we'll just get a feel for it. If there's a group of people who want a class in Kehelis, then we could take time aside and learn Kehelis on our own, and then we'll finish it. It doesn't take that much time, but for one evening, that's a big job. Divrei Kehelet ben David. The words of Kehelis, Shlomo, the son of David, Melech b'Yerushalayim, who was king in Jerusalem. He is a wise person. He is the son of a wise person. He was king over the wisest city. You know that wise people used to gather in Jerusalem to study. And Shlomo, who's king in this city, so he's got all the potential to be a wise person. And Shlomo HaMelech begins his book, Havel Havalim Amar Kehelet. Kehelet has said, everything is hevel. Hevel means something that's worthless. Something that has no sustenance, no existence, no permanence. Shlomo HaMelech is going to use the word hevel in this pasuk 7 times. Havel, 1. Havalim, like 2 hevels, 3. Havel Havalim, another 3. Hakol Havel, everything is worthless. What's the point in everything in life? That's a good way to start a book. Wow. Everything's pointless, right? That's how we're starting our book. Positive. So, what's Shlomo telling us? You read it on the surface. So Shlomo's saying, what's the worth in anything? Our sages tell us that Shlomo HaMelech was looking at the greatest investments that he and his father had made. They had invested in the people of Israel, in the kingdom of Israel, in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash. Those were their great accomplishments. And Shlomo HaMelech recognized with Ruach HaKodesh that his son Rechavam would lose this united kingdom.
Hello.
The very next generation, the kingdom is going to be divided. And Yerovam ben Nevat is going to have half the kingdom. And not only half the kingdom, when we say half, we don't mean literally half. 10 tribes are going to go away. And Jerusalem that they spent all their efforts building, careful with the wire, and the Temple Mount, the temple that was their greatest accomplishment, they're all going to be destroyed. Shlomo HaMelech recognized all of this. The nation of Israel, the nation that they invested all their times in ruling and guiding and teaching Torah to, that nation's going to be exiled. And therefore Shlomo HaMelech says, everything we worked and toiled, everything we've worked for, my father and I, it's all worthless because it's not going to have permanence. It's all going to be destroyed ultimately. And that's one understanding. Another understanding is that Shlomo HaMelech is saying, look, seven times I said everything's pointless, and that's because I'm referring to everything that God created in 7 days. How many species do you hold in your hand every day?
Four
species, total of seven though, because you have one Esrog, one Lulav, two Aravas, three Hadassim.
Oh, but species means like
species, right.
So
four species, but seven representatives of four species. Seven plants, called that. So Shlomo HaMelech is speaking about what God created in 7 days, and he says, what's the point in it all? As the next pasuk says, Ma'itron la'adam. What is left over, what is gained for man, b'chol amalo she'yamol tacht ha'shamesh, and all the work that he toils under the sun. So that's the simple understanding. Our sages say that he meant anything you do under the sun that you're toiling for in this world, that what's the point? If you deal in Torah, if you deal in mitzvos, so then you're toiling in something that's above the sun, that's in the world to come. But in this world, if you're working on having a big house, having a nice car, what's the point? It's all going to go in then. Another understanding says, Tachas HaShemesh doesn't mean under the sun, but rather in exchange for the sun. The Torah is called Torah Or. Torah is the source of light. Shlomo HaMelech says, anything you toil with in exchange for the Torah, what's the point? Dor Olech V'Dor Ba. Shlomo HaMelech says, I see in prophecy, generation goes, generation comes. A generation of good people leave, a generation of bad people come. V'aretz lo'olam omadet. I think it means to say, even if at present we have a good generation of tzaddikim, ultimately they die, and what takes their place is a generation of rishayim. I don't think so.
That always happens.
That always happens. That's the way of the world. Shlomo HaMelech says, what's the point in everything you're going to toil? Generations go, generations come, and the land remains to accept the punishments that when people are sinful, so God punishes them and the land, so the land bears it all. The sun sets, the sun rises, and then continues the cycle going back to where it started from.
Has there ever been a time where it's just continuing like up and up, in terms of kingship, like righteous kings?
No, we saw even Moshe Rabbeinu ends the Torah with telling the Jews, this is where you are today, you're going to go down. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us also, the nature of the world is to be cyclical, going up and going back down. Just as the sun goes up, sun goes down. Olech el darom, misovev el tzafon. The sun goes through the southern side of the sky and then turns around through the north. Sovev, sovev, olech haruach, vad slivotav shav haruach. It turns, it goes through the different directions, and then it returns to do the same cycle again. You know, the sun doesn't go directly through the center of the sky. Right? Depending on the summer, right. Depending where you are, and depending on the summer or the winter, the sun doesn't take a path that goes directly through the center. Depending on the summer or winter, and depending on which hemisphere you're in, will depend on whether it goes through the northern part of the sky or the southern part of the sky. It goes from east to west. But it makes a cycle that goes part of the year towards the north and then back to the south, as a cycle of the sun during the day, and other parts of the year towards the south and then back towards the north. Think about it. Think of the earth. If you're at the equator, then the sun is moving overhead directly, a straight line. But if you're at... Okay. Kol ha'nechalim holachim el hayam v'hayam einenu male. All the rivers, all the streams, they flow to the sea, and the sea never gets full. El mekom shan chalim olechim sham hem shavim lalachet. The streams go back to their source, and they repeat the cycle. The waters go from the streams to the sea, and from the sea, they find their way back to the stream. Everything is cyclical in the world. On a simple understanding, Shlomo HaMelech is speaking to those who serve the waters. Those who believe that the waters have godly powers, because you see they never end, the stream keeps flowing. Where's all this water coming from? And the waters all run into the ocean, and the ocean never seems to overflow. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling them on a simple level, he's telling them, It's simple. It's cyclical. It's the same water being running the cycle time and again. Kol hadevarim yegeim. Everything is pointless. Everything gets worn down. Lo yuchal ish ledaver. Lo yuchal ish ledaber. A person cannot speak. Lo tisbain lirot. The eye will never be satiated from seeing. Lo timale ozen mishmoa. And the ear will never be satiated from hearing. Because if a person is working to attain physical things, they all get worn down and you end up with nothing. So a person wants to see beautiful things, he travels the world, his eye will never be satiated. He wants to hear, he wants to know what's going on, he'll never hear enough. Every day there's new news. And this, if you think about it, there are people who chase after this even today. There are people who are always looking to travel to see what's going on in the world, they want to see new places. Shlomo Melech is telling them, you'll never have seen enough. People always want to hear, be on top of the news. People are always on the internet, always searching all the news sites. Fine, tomorrow there'll be new news. You're never going to have enough. Mashaya hu sheye. That which was is that which will be. Umashenasa hu sheyase. And that which was done is what will be done. Then kol chadash tacht hashamesh. There's nothing new under the sun, which everyone knows many explanations on. I'll just give you a quote. There was a wise man who said, our generation is so disrespectful. No one's even talking about the fact that they don't stand up for their elders, they speak back to their elders, they don't think twice about contradicting their elders, they don't see any difference between them and their elders. Where are those days where children would be, where the youngsters would have some kind of honor for their elders? So you think that's today, right? It's a quote from Aristotle. Yesh davar shiomar re'ei zeh chadashu. There's something that a person notices and he says, boy, that's new. It's always been all the worlds that were before us. So you'll say electricity is new. You ask what Shlomo HaMelech mean by this. So we could say that the potential for those things always were. And you could say also that Shlomo HaMelech is speaking about things in society. As much as we've advanced, if you read books about what was going on in society 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, the same squabbles. In literature, they always define what's a classic, a book that speaks to every generation. Well, why does a book speak to every generation? Because we all have the same human tendencies and the same human nature, and that doesn't change as much as we've advanced. So once upon a time you wanted to have a better horse, so today you want to have a better car. A few generations they want to have a better plane or something else. So we've advanced in certain fronts, but at the end of the day everything's the same.
So almost the Rebbe, right, if everything's in the Torah, where's computers?
Okay.
It said that Tefillin is the first computer. Just like a computer takes all these different components and puts them together to make one kind of human thing. The Tefillin takes the mind and the physical and combines them into like a new...
Okay.
So I'd like
to
think the mind process
the physical one. En zichon la There's no remembrance for the first generations that were here. And also the later generations, they won't be remembered with the generations that follow them. Everyone gets forgotten. Who doesn't get forgotten? Forgotten? If someone deals with Torah. If someone does things that are eternal, by doing acts of kindness are eternal. Torah is eternal. A person compiled Rabbi Kiva Eiger, so hundreds of years later, no one remembers who was the governor of his city. No one remembers who was the king of his country. But everyone remembers his works throughout the world. They learn his works. Rav Yosef Karo compiled the work, Shulchan Aruch. Everyone remembers that. Everyone knows who Rav Yosef Karo is. So there are things that are eternal. But Shlomo HaMelech, again, he's talking about people who work to get ahead in the physical world. He says, everything's forgotten. They'll also be forgotten. Ani Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech says, Hayiti Melech al Yisrael b'Yerushalayim. I used to be king over the Jewish people in Jerusalem. So our sages say that Shlomo is describing his descent. There was a period where Shlomo HaMelech was considered monarch over the world. Shlomo HaMelech ruled over the whole world. Everyone considered themselves subservient to Shlomo. And then his kingdom dwindled and he became king only over the Jewish people. And then it dwindled some more and he became king only over Jerusalem. And finally he had nothing left but his stick. And the Gemara discusses, did he ever regain his throne? There are discussions of how he lost his kingdom. There's a medrash that Ashmedai came and he conquered Ashmedai. Ashmedai is the king of the demons, of the Shadim. And then Ashmedai was able to trick him into releasing him. And when he released Ashmedai, Shlomo Amalch, when he released Ashmedai, so Ashmedai swallowed him up and spit him out over the sea. And no one recognized him. And Ashmedai took the form of Shlomo and he started doing all kinds of weird things in the kingdom. Because he's Ashmedai. He's not interested in doing positive things. And Shlomo HaMelech made his trek back. No one believed him, who he was. Until finally he said, Ani Kohelet, I am Kohelet, I am Aiti Melech, I was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And no one believed him. So his father once told me a continuation of that Midrash, that there was an old woman who met him. And she said to him, if you're Shlomo, you're probably not. And if you are, you deserve it. So he said, what did I do? What do I deserve it? So she said, you said that you had 1,000 women. Of 1,000, you didn't find one. So you speak that way about us women. You deserve what you got if you are Shlomo. So Shlomo told her, he said, I did it for your sake. She says, what do you mean? He says, I was helping you out by doing that. Because if people think there's something better out there, then they'll leave their wives and look for something better. I had 1,000 wives. And if you think about it, Shlomo HaMelech, why did he marry the second? The first, he thought she was the ideal. He was a very smart man. He thought she was the biggest tzaddikus, the most righteous woman that could be. He married her. And then he discovered she wasn't exactly what he thought she was. So the second was able to trick him again. 1,000 times they were able to trick him, it seems. Because each time he thought, this is Mrs. Right. This is she. So Shlomo HaMelech was saying, you know, if after 1,000 women, it's not so, then I have to say this so that all the men will recognize that what they got is amazing, is great. Don't expect anything better. That's what's called amazing. Shlomo HaMelech says, after 1,000 women, I came to the conclusion, what I think I'm going to get, I'm never going to get. So Shlomo told her, I did it for your sake. Why should other men do this? So Ani Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, I, Shlomo, Hayiti Melech, I was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Now when did Shlomo HaMelech compile this book? So there are two opinions in the Medrash. Or at least two opinions in the Medrash. There are more.
After he was king.
After he was king. Okay, he was king at age 12. So obviously he compiled this after he was king.
How many years did he live?
I think 40. That's for some reason that's what I have in mind. I don't remember.
I could be king before Abraham.
Ah, good question. Stay tuned. Join our Malachim class. We'll get there, Mitzvah Shem, in about a month and a half, and then we'll talk about it.
We never even started Shmuel.
I think we did.
Yeah.
So Shlomo HaMelech, one understanding says that at one point in his life he compiled, either in his youth or when he was old, he compiled the three works, Mishle, Koheles, and Shir HaShirim. But there's another understanding that says, well, it's the way of the youth to sing, to have aspirations for the future. We can take this out. There'll be more room. Wow. So that understanding says that Shlomo HaMelech in his youth, when he was young and singing, that's when he compiled Shir HaShirim, the love song of the people of Israel about their connection with God. Shekol HaKetuvim Kodesh, all the writings and Ksuvim are Kodesh, and Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies. When he was middle-aged, he compiled Mishle, Proverbs. That's when a person's 40, 50, that's when he gets his great wisdom. That's when he could give Mishalim. He usually imparts from his wisdom. And when he was an old man, looking back at it all, he compiled Koheles. This is the one that people like most, because it seems to be most intuitive. We're going to have to stop here for today. We'll go quickly to the last pasuk in Koheles, and then we'll go on to our other things for tonight. Shlomo HaMelech begins what the Christians made the last chapter, the 12th chapter. Uzchor et borecha, remember your Creator, bimei bechurotecha, when you're young. Ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'ah, until before the olden days come and things go bad. Ve'igiu shanim, and years will come. Asher tomar en liveim chefetz. You'll say, I don't want these years. Our sages say, en liveim chefetz could mean, I don't want these years. Or it means, I don't have want. You lose all desire. Our sages record that there were older tanoim, amoroim, who said, I've reached the age where I can't be with my wife anymore. I lost all desire. And when they reached that age, they said, it's terrible to be here. They didn't like that. Even holy people say it's a positive thing to be in a situation where a person could have chifetz. So Shlomo Mel says, be pious before you reach that age, before things get dark, etc. So we know we're holding towards the end of the book. Shlomo Melech is warning us. He tells us again towards the end, havel avalim amar koel takol havel. Everything is pointless. Everything a person toils for in this world, if it's not to serve Hashem and deal in the Torah, it's pointless. V'yoter shaya koel chacham. Beyond that, Shlomo was wise. Od limadat et ha'am. He taught the nation to be smart. V'izen v'chiker. Our sages say, what does it mean, izen? Izen could mean like ozen, ear. He taught. Izen could mean like balance, moznaim, or izen could mean like when we use the term ozen. So in ancient times, when they wanted to grab a kid and punish him, they'd grab him by the ear. So when we speak about a vessel that has a handle, it's called oznaim lekli. So our sages say that Shlomo HaMelech was a great sage. We're accustomed to Shlomo HaMelech being a good king, Shlomo HaMelech being a good leader. Sages say, as far as making takanot and gzerot, making institutions that would help the Jewish people maintain the Torah, Shlomo HaMelech made great headway for the Jewish people by establishing takanot and gzerot, and that's what it means. Izen, he made, so to speak, oznaim, handles to the Torah. Just like our sages said, don't touch your plowshares or your shears. You'll end up using them on Shabbos. Shlomo HaMelech instituted eruv, the eruv that we use today. He instituted netilas yadayim, washing one's hands before he touches truma and kachim. Tiken mishalim abe. He also made many mishalim. Bikesh kolet limtzo divrei chefetz v'chatuv yosher v'divrei emet. Shlomo HaMelech seek the truth, divrei chachamim kadorvanot, etc. Ve'yoter me'em abni zeher. Beyond this, Shlomo HaMelech warns us, be careful, asot svarim merbe in ketz. There are so many books, it's never ending. You have to decide in time which books you're going to do, which books you're going to study, and not every book is worth writing. Sof davar kol nishma, at the end of the day, everything is heard. Et ha'elokim yira Shlomo HaMelech, fear Hashem, et mitzvotav shemor, keep his mitzvos, ki ze kol adam. This is the whole point of mankind. The man was created for this point. Ki et kol ma'aseh ha'elokim yaviv mishpat al kol ne'elam. God ultimately will take a person to task for everything he did, even though a person sometimes feels like he could have a blast and he's getting away with it. At the end of the day, God brings him to task, and in a second we're going to start discussing our parsha, and we're going to see how even Moshe Rabbeinu was taken to task. We're going to start our evening with probably the saddest medrash I ever read. A medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu. So Shlomo HaMelech ends his book telling us everything, person is going to be judged with everything, for everything he does, even things that he did by mistake. Im tov ve'im ra. If he does something good by mistake, and if he does something bad by mistake, ultimately he's going to be judged for everything. Shlomo HaMelech ends the book by telling us, be cautious, and the point of this world is to fear Hashem and perform his mitzvot.
One question?
Sure.
Oh.
Go ahead, yeah.
It's just very, very tiny question. You just mentioned the Sheitim. Are there still Sheitim in Eretz Yisrael or just in Torah?
Sheitim exist. Do they have the ability to affect us or not? I don't know. There are things that we do because we say there are shedim, and there are things that halachically we say you shouldn't do because we say shedim exist. But on the other hand, there are many things that we don't worry about shedim. It says that through the month of Av, there's a period when a person shouldn't walk alone certain hours in the afternoon. We all walk alone. No one worries about that. We say that during those hours, brought in Shulchan Aruch, during those hours, there's a shed called Ketev Meriri, quoted in Parshas Hazinu, that he takes control during that period of time. Today, don't see anyone worried about that. On the other hand, there are things that we are worried about. So, what exactly is the balance? I don't know.
We're worried about what's the examples of things?
What are the examples of things we are worried about? So we say that a person should try not to sleep alone in the house. because there's a shade that comes and will disturb him. We say that the mezuzah, one of the reasons we put it on the outside of the doorpost is to protect from shadim. That halacha is still applicable today. We try to put the mezuzah as far out as we could in the doorpost. We say that I don't know of anything to do with shadim. And there are other things. Those are the examples that come to mind now, but there are others. But that's regarding shadim. Yeah.
Like, for example, the one that like disturbs you in your sleep.
Well, shadim don't like people when there are more than one. They don't appear to people if there are more than one. That's what we say. Unless you're walking into their territory. There are places that we say that's their territory. If you walk in, so then you walked in their territory, they might deal with you even though there's more than one. What I'm saying is a Gemara.
I heard a commentary on Deus Hashem compared shadim to viruses. Because viruses is the only creature that we can't say is alive. Like the most rich fluid and not do anything. It needs like a cell to inhabit and to reproduce using the powers of the cell and all this good stuff.
Yeah, but the Gemara seems to compare Shadim to humans, and the Gemara says Shadim spoke and drink wine.
Oh, yeah, so it was a commentary because it says like there's a lot of stuff in other sources where it says like shadim, they need to like they reproduce from our seed spilling of seed, things like this. Like they can't do things on their own. They need to use humans to reproduce and all this kind of stuff. That's why I compared it to them.
Okay. It's a nice thought, but there are too many Gemaras that discuss people talking to Shadim and things like that. The Gemara says that if at night a person calls out of a pit and says, give a get to my wife, so we worry maybe it was a Shade talking. So it doesn't seem to indicate it's a virus. It seems to be something like a human.
He compared it to viruses.
Oh, he compared it to viruses. Okay.
By the way, it's like, because they're not completely physical creatures and they're not completely spiritual creatures. Like, we're completely physical and completely spiritual. We're full in both domains. And they're only half in both domains.
I hear you.
It's like a virus in that way.
Okay.